Radio, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
And welcome to the Taylor Report. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to be talking to Eva Bartlett, and Eva Bartlett is speaking at 777 Bathurst, April 25th. That's Thursday at 7 p.m., and she's going to be in Hamilton at 24 Main Street, the New Vision United Church, on the 29th of April. That's the 25th and the 29th, 25th at 777 Bathurst, a different book list, 7 p.m. Thursday, and the 29th April, that's a Monday at 7 o'clock, 24 Main Street, West Hamilton. And I think we're joined by Eva Bartlett herself. Are you there, Eva?
Hi, Phil, times two.
It's great to be talking to you, Eva. By the way, I always like to say that you have a great Twitter account. I hope everybody's following it. And you say there, I go to the places I write about. And we live in a world where we have major newspapers who actually don't have correspondents in the places that they are causing problems for. Of course, now you've been most recently to Venezuela. I guess the first question, is it getting more difficult to get to Venezuela? The U.S. is becoming very nasty, and we hear rumors about the airlines being less cooperative and such things.
Yeah, actually, I had been in Venezuela before in 2010, and so I was there for about 6 months, so I had some experience in the country. Mm-hmm. And I didn't anticipate the difficulty of getting there when I went in March. And so basically, I did what I usually do and shop around on the airline, Expedia-type sites for a bargain flight. And so I found one with three connections on American Airlines. So it was Toronto via New York via Miami. And there was an overnight in Miami. That's fine. It's a cheap flight. But the next morning, it was due to fly around 7 a.m., and the airline twice delayed, and I kept asking them, what's up with this? What's the reason for the delay? Initially, they said, there's not enough electricity at the airport in Caracas for us to land. And so I contacted a friend I know who was working there with Press TV, and I said, hey, Ahmed, is this true? And then he talked with Venezuelan journalists. I said, no, there's flights taking off and landing even now, even though there was this sabotage, this electricity crisis. In the end, American canceled my flight, leaving me no option really but to find a new flight on my own. So I did fly via Panama on Copa Airlines. And I asked the airline, have you been flying to Venezuela in recent days? And they said yes. It was very difficult to get there. And it wasn't only my flight, but another a couple of people I knew that were coming to Venezuela the next day on American also had the same thing happen. And although I had initially planned to spend just a week this time in Venezuela, come a week later, American had canceled for the indefinite future all flights to Venezuela.
Mm-hmm. I was very impressed. When you were going there, the big story, and the one actually I read it in the Toronto Star, so it must be so. They were reviewing some sort of theater production here, and the reviewer said, Venezuela, the performers from Caracas, which is experiencing widespread starvation. Thank heavens Eva Bartlett went down and looked around. Tell us about that story. I mean, you covered it, by the way. People can find that at just Eva K. Bartlett Twitter. I know that was probably the first thing on your mind to kind of get around and see what the reality was.
Yes, in tandem with the starvation claim has been the claim since many months prior, when all this war propaganda and rhetoric started escalating, the claim that there's no food in supermarkets and stores, right? These are the main themes going around, and that basically the country is in a state of chaos. And so when I went there, when I finally did arrive, I arrived on, I think it was March 10th, and so I walked around streets that I was familiar with in downtown Caracas, and honestly, Phil, it seemed like 2010. The streets were emptier because the power was out, so the metro wasn't running. The metro serves something like 3 million people daily, and by the way, it's free of cost. But other than that, there were some shops open, including restaurants with food. And as the days passed, I tried to document by photo and video that, yes, there was food being sold. In fact, I went to the poorest district, and there's an area called Petare. It's known as the largest slum in Latin America. And I went there with a friend on his motorcycle, and we drove all around. And even in the hilltop barrios, Cinco de Julio, the 5th of July barrio, for example, you saw shops selling chicken. You saw stands selling fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. So wherever I went, I didn't see a lack of food, and I did see starvation. I'm sure there are people living in poverty. That's undeniable. Mm-hmm. But what the Western media is doing is constructing this idea that there's just widespread chaos. Yeah. Without mentioning the reasons why there are poverty, and of course, top amongst those reasons is the economic war the U.S. has been waging, and Canada, against Venezuela for years, and the sanctions that keep increasing against mm-hmm. Venezuela. But certainly there is food in the supermarkets. And additionally, the government has taken initiatives, various initiatives. I think it was, I don't want to say the year, but some years ago they started an initiative whose acronym is CLAP. It's the Spanish version has something to do with food program. And basically, I believe it's on a monthly basis, although they do intend to increase it to biweekly. Food boxes are sent out to 6 million families in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And they're so inexpensive, they're almost free, and they contain proteins and produce and cooking oil, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Certainly better than, by the way, the humanitarian assistance that I saw in Gaza. And then in addition to that, the government also has more recently an urban agriculture initiative. So they're doing rooftop gardening, they're doing community gardening, small space gardening, and they're trying to encourage civilians to be as independent as they can. Now, what's funny is this morning I was looking, I just Googled it just to see what had been reported on it. I don't remember the source. I think one was NPR, the other might have been the Washington Post, both from a couple of years ago. And they were deriding this initiative of urban agriculture, implying, you know, well, you can imagine the kind of implications they were saying, mm-hmm. like the government's unable to provide for its people, so it's demanding they grow their own food. But I met another community, Ciudad Marish, I think it was called, and it's a hilltop community, very poor, but they have taken a lot of initiatives. They do flat boxes, and they're also doing local gardening. And they were saying, like, you know, we're not starving. Every person I asked was saying, we're not starving. We are poor. And then they would give the reasons why. And Venezuelans, by and large, are very informed of the geopolitical reasons for their mm-hmm. poverty and what the U.S. has been doing to their country.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Eva Bartlett. Eva's going to be at a different book list on Thursday the 25th at 7 o'clock, 777 Bathurst. What about this power outage? You say that you experienced some of it yourself. What is it, how is it being handled? What's your impression of what's going to be unfolding with the power issue?
Yeah, so the power first went out, I think it was March 7th, and it was out for 5 or 6 days. And I arrived on the 10th, so a few days into it. And the airport was functioning enough for planes to land. Even the luggage carousel was running. But the power outage, and I know this very intimately from living in Gaza for several years. In Gaza, if I may, just as an aside, the power was out for 18 to 20 hours a day for years. And now I've seen more recent reports saying, well, now they have power for 8 hours a day. So this is just worth mentioning because mm-hmm. all this false concern for the power outage in Venezuela yes. by Marco Rubio, by, you know, Mike Pompeo, by the Western yes. media.
Crocodile yeah, tears.
Absolutely, because they could not care less about Palestinians in Gaza, for example, or Yemen. Mm-hmm. But so the power outage does impact on every aspect of life. But what I noted was, like I said earlier, there was no chaos. Mm-hmm. I saw long lines of people standing, waiting for ATMs when the power came on or around water distribution centers. But you would imagine, perhaps you have some insight into this, in a city like Toronto, for example, if the power was out for more than 2 days, if it was out for 5 or 6 days, there probably would be quite a bit of chaos, including looting. But mm-hmm. There were reports of looting on Venezuela's border with Colombia. And I talked with various journalists about that, and they said the incident that they had heard about was one of the main companies there, which is opposition-controlled, is called Polar, and they manufacture beer and bread products and probably, I think, soft drinks as well. And the looting that occurred was in a mall in Maracaibo, and it was, according to these journalists I spoke with, that it was soft drinks and beer. So not exactly the critical items you'd be looting if you're starving. Yes. But other than that, like over the course, there were two series of power outages, and the Venezuelan government asserts that it was a combination of hacking, sabotage on the system, and they listed Chicago and I want to say somewhere in Texas, maybe Houston, as sources. There was something to do with a component of the system being manufactured in the U.S. and also physical attacks on the system. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed, because American Airlines canceled my flight, I said, okay, fine, I'm just going to stay for another couple of weeks in Venezuela. So I was staying in a very cheap hotel on the eighth floor. So, you know, the power's out. That meant everything was off. I started collecting water in garbage bins, plastic bins, so that I could wash at least, you know, with that water. But the point was, the only chaos I heard was when the lights would go off, and then I'd hear the opposition supporters screaming and howling and banging on pots and pans and blaming Maduro. And that's, they might actually believe it, but I've also seen on Twitter and social media that Juan Guaido, the man that the West has chosen to be president, that most Venezuelans I met do not recognize as president, has encouraged people to react this way every time the power goes out. And there was even a clip where he was on a program being interviewed, and he essentially was admitting, you know, involvement, basically saying it would continue until the usurpation of the government, meaning the President Maduro, was over. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are other articles. I think it's Max Blumenthal or the the Gray Zone came out with an article detailing, and Mint Press News as well, detailing how the U.S. has the capabilities of hacking into power systems. And, you know, they had
actually, yes, we've had reports from other countries. Iran has had their system hacked. And I know that you probably saw the same item. An Iranian-American engineer said that he had been offered $250,000 to plant a device that would have knocked out the power for Tehran. And he says, you know, I mean, this is a guy who was on the record. He was a credible individual. So, and you notice that people like Bolton and Pompeo always smirk when somebody said, well, did you have anything to do with it? They don't really say no. They have that expression on their face saying, well, we're going to cause this guy pain. I mean, they Bolton and Pompeo believe in causing pain to people like people in Gaza and Caracas, if they can do it. They think it will cause people to turn on the government.
And I believe it was Marco Rubio who actually was tweeting in a smirking manner about the power being out the first round, March 7th, before it had even been officially announced in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. But then there was a second round of power outages, and this one was attributed to direct physical sabotage on the main power plant, the Guri hydroelectric plant. The government came out with statements. I believe they were saying it was attacked by snipers, which is entirely possible. And so that caused continuous outages. And then as the government worked, and extensive damage as well, as the government worked to repair that damage, there were planned outages in order to give people power, you know, in different areas while the lines were being repaired. Mm-hmm. But one day I was with a local journalist, and we were on, I'm sorry, I forget the name of the mountain. It's not Avila. It's another mountain in Caracas. And I had been along that road many times going to different areas. And one day I'd seen these massive tankers that were organized by the government to collect clean spring water, drinkable spring water, and deliver them around Caracas. And I saw a whiteboard with a list of, I think it was 20 hospitals and clinics that were being prioritized. Another day, I went with this local journalist along that same road, but we went to a different area where there was more outlets for this spring water, and people were collecting, and apparently they normally would collect water there, not in the numbers that we were seeing, but because the water was an issue, there were more people that had driven in cars or walked to collect the spring water. But the observations we made were, again, it was extremely calm. There was people were just waiting in line for their turn to collect the water. But also when we left that spot, just down the road, maybe a kilometer, maybe less, there was a fire raging on the side of the mountain, and I asked the journalist, well, at this time of year, is it normal for fires to start from like a cigarette or something? He said, no, it's not. Most likely it's sabotage, and it was very close to electrical lines, so it could have been more dangerous than it was. We came back there an hour or so later, and the firefighters had put the fire out, and one of the firefighters said he wasn't authorized to speak on behalf of the department, but he said it was definitely sabotage. Mm-hmm. So there seems like, and unsurprisingly, there's a sustained campaign to create havoc and chaos in the country. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, when I kept asking people and journalists, you know, has there been widespread looting, or, you know, what's the reason that people aren't going nuts? They said, well, you know, they experienced in 2002, I believe it was, well, there was the coup d'etat attempt on Chavez back then, and they've experienced various efforts from the U.S. Mm-hmm. So they're most of them, not speaking of the opposition supporters who can be very violent, the ones that are more politically aware are know that the way to react is calmly. And then, sorry, if I can just add on to, there are local groups, organized groups called colectivos. They're incredibly demonized in the media. They literally just mean collectives or organized groups of people, and they can be anything from, you know, an environmental collective, a pensioners collective, feminist collective, a youth collective, whatever. And I spoke with the leader of this one youth collective, and he was saying, for example, in his area, when the power was out, they organized together to get a water tanker to distribute water to people in the community. And they also had one fridge where they were collecting, you know, people's mm-hmm. chicken or whatever the protein was. So they were working together to ensure that people at least could all get what they needed to survive.
Mm-hmm. This is Eva Bartlett, Eva K. Bartlett on Twitter. And there's also the account of ingaza.wordpress.com. And Eva's talking, by the way, at Bathurst, 777 Bathurst Street, 7 o'clock this coming Thursday on the 25th. Eva, did you see demonstrations? On your account on the Twitter, I saw you posted some of these rather funny pictures of Mr. Guaido running into a group of women who didn't appreciate his presence and chased him away. I mean, do you hear political talks anywhere? Do you watch them on TV, or what was the political climate like?
Well, I kept trying to go to pro-opposition, pro-Guaido protests. So on March 16th, I did go to a protest that was pro-Maduro, anti-imperialist. And I'm terrible at estimating. However, my video is on YouTube. It's Eva K. Bartlett also. And it was, if I said thousands, it's probably an understatement, the numbers of people that were participating. Mm-hmm. In any case, it was a massive, a very, very long, long, long demonstration. I walked with demonstrators for a couple of hours filming. It was a very vibrant, jubilant kind of mood. People were singing and dancing, but also Venezuelans are very, they're not shy to come up to you and start just without even introduction, spouting their political views. And so I heard a lot of people at the demonstration talking with a very aware, informed political awareness about, again, the need to defend their country against foreign meddling and the fact that they did not recognize Guaido. That same day, March 16th, a local journalist had offered to take me on her motorcycle to some of the demonstrations that had been planned, according to various opposition supporters on Twitter, but they never materialized. Mm. 2 weeks later, I went to another demonstration on March 30th, again, a massive pro-government demonstration. This time, I actually went with this colectivo leader on his motorcycle, and we joined hundreds of motorcyclers throughout the city. Now, this is worth mentioning that these types of motorcyclers are also demonized in the media, but these are people that live in the poorest areas, barrios. I saw men and women and sometimes children on the bikes. I didn't see arms. They may or may not have arms, but this is the way they're portrayed in the media, is they're thugs. Uh-huh. And they were literally going through the city and showing their defiance against any sort of intervention against their country. Yeah. That same day, I tried to go to other demonstrations earlier, prior to joining this one. I actually, I'd been told by different journalists that starting 10 a.m., and they sent me these tweets starting 10 a.m. in various areas in eastern Caracas, which is generally known as the opposition stronghold, upper class areas, but also in some of the central Caracas mixed areas, that there would be demonstrations. So before 10 a.m. I walked out on the street. I hailed down a motorcycle taxi. I asked him to take me to one of these first areas, and then I explained to him where I was trying to go. So he ended up taking me around to many of the points where there were supposed to be people collecting. At one of the points, actually, in El Paraíso, I didn't see any opposition supporters. I saw a group, a large group of pro-Maduro supporters walking to join this massive demonstration that I saw later in the day. I kept going around with this driver and eventually ended up in Chacao and Altamira, which are eastern Caracas opposition strongholds. In Chacao, I saw 10, 15 people walking the sidewalk. In Altamira, I saw a couple dozen. And they, the crowds never never came into fruition. So it's unfortunate because I did want to see what they had to say.
You tried to cover them. They didn't they didn't show up themselves.
Yeah,
exactly. You would have given them the time. This is Eva Bartlett. By the way, you are an adventurer. You said motorcycle taxi. And I think, oh, my goodness. But now, you interviewed somebody. I got a kick out of this. And it's very important to identify that you mentioned Max Blumenthal is doing great work. And also VenezuelaAnalysis.com. Mm-hmm. You interviewed Mr. Dobson, was it?
Yes.
And now they've come under attack, too. They've been hacked a bit. But tell us about your estimate of their work.
They've come under attack, I think, for the last week. Their website is down. They've been posting updates on Facebook and Twitter. There are, in my opinion, and I'm, of course, not an expert on Venezuela, but in my opinion, they are one of the best English language sites on Venezuela. Their authors, I believe all or almost all of their authors are based in Venezuela and are Venezuelan, with the exception of some like Paul Dobson. And they provide good analysis. They're independent. I did specifically ask Paul when I interviewed him if they had any sort of government funding, and he said absolutely not, in which case I would encourage people when the website's back up to look at their material, because it provides a very critical voice of what's happening in Venezuela, analyses, interviews, and also examining the propaganda against Venezuela. For example, back in February, a month after Guaido self-proclaimed himself as president, I believe it was exactly a month after that, there was the aid truck stunt at the border with Colombia, wherein they tried to force what they called aid into Venezuela. The Venezuelan government said there are legitimate means to deliver aid, like Russia, China, Cuba, and other countries have been doing, via the Red Cross and other bodies, but we will not accept it to be forced through Colombia. And I, this is an aside, but this friend Ahmed from Press TV, he went to the border when the aid truck incident was happening, and the trucks ended up getting burnt, and corporate media was saying the quote-unquote Maduro regime burnt these trucks, when in fact it actually came from people on the Colombian side, Molotov cocktails and so on, causing these trucks to be burnt. But Ahmed said he saw the contents of, I think it was at least one of the trucks, and it contained wires, among other things, and not aid. Yeah. But anyway, now I got off on a tangent there. We're talking about Venezuela analysis.
I know what their reporting is.
Yes, because they did a very detailed breakdown of the propaganda around that particular incident.
Yeah.
And they've done really incredible work. So I believe they've come under attack, probably because more people are looking for accurate information on Venezuela.
Yeah. It just underlines how important your work is. It's Eva K. Bartlett on Twitter. And Eva is going to be speaking at 777 Bathurst on April 25th. That's Thursday at 7 o'clock. You're doing great work, Eva, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Phil. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.